Welcome to Deeply Rooted, a web series on mindset. My name is Tony Wisdom, aka Tony Gaines. I've spent over 20 years in the music business as a producer, engineer, label owner, and executive. This show is dedicated to changing the narrative on success. I reached out to the most successful people I know. I want to know what drives them, their greatest mistakes, their best advice, their secrets to success, and how all of that has shaped who they are today. Take a journey with us.
Just check to see if we live right quick. Let me move my man around. All right, there we go, man. So, my apologies, y'all. You know, it's Easter. We had the homegirl had to cancel on us, Hallie Alice, last minute. And thankfully, man, my bro, Ant, is, you know, a savage, and he was ready to go at a moment's notice. You know, I had bro booked for season two. This is actually an interview that I've really been excited about. So without further ado, man, Anthony Hunter Savington, man, how you doing, brother?
Good. How about yourself, man?
I can't complain, man. I'm great. You know, honestly, I'm still here, man, and still got a chance to shine on these suckers, man. So, you know, I'm here, bro. I don't know if you've been watching the show. This show really isn't about music or anything like that. It's about mindset. And, you know, I know you have, like, a ill mindset, like the way you raise your kids and the way you're committed to your family. You know, and, you know, your son, like, you know, I reached out to him randomly the other day. He had posted some beats. And, you know, I just wanted to give him some words of encouragement because dude's like, I could tell from the first time I met him that he's got that thing, you know. So hats off to you, man. I don't really like to get into the music, but I like to let the guests know, you know, who you are professionally. So if you could run that down for me right quick, that'd be dope.
Yeah. I'm part of music probably the least important thing of, in terms of like what I ever did in terms of, I'm part of an organization called Savage Family, Standing Against Violent Adversaries and Genocidal Environments, Forever Always Movement is kind of the acronym for it. And so, you know, we just utilize music for the purpose of trying to, challenge the ongoing genocide against our people. And so it's one of those things where music was something that people paid attention to, people, you know, obviously people listening to. And so the way we approached it was strategically to be able to implement ideals, values, principles that's been destroyed and like push it through music, right? So that's really what our work started off as, you know. So ever since then, I've done a lot of utilize my music to get me in places to do gang prevention, substance abuse prevention, just prevention of violence and harm against Native people primarily, but I work with everybody. So that's really what my work's been. And so music was just a tool to be able to get people to pay attention real quick. And so honestly, it don't even trip me out. That's not an important part of this. I think music, some things that probably brings people together here and there, but I think most people are trying to function on a different level and find different things and different means to be able to help themselves or the people around them. So yeah, that's really what I do. That's the work that I do is work with the primarily Native youth in terms of changing their circumstance.
Yeah, that's dope, man. And in case you guys want to see a little bit more about that, Savage Family, and they did a whole episode on them in the Rise series on Viceland, where you can follow them around. Like these dudes were going to the reses, you know, across the country, you know, really trying to spit a message. And you know, I mean, I know, you know, like sometimes it comes off a little bit aggressive for two people. It's not palatable for everybody. You know what I'm saying? So I call you guys the Native Dead Prez. Like, that's who you are to me. You know what I'm saying? Like really dope artists without the cause, you know what I'm saying, or without the issues that you stand behind, but like just dope artists in general. I think I told you, man, like you're one of the illest crate diggers I know, man. Like, you send me samples, dog, I'll be like, where the hell is he getting these things? But so, you know, then you add the message, and you know, that's kind of what it is to me. Not to just to make a you know, some type of relationship. So anyway, hats off to you, man, for that aspect of it. Now, who is Ant the person? Who are you as a person?
Simply put, not really simply put, but I've heard people describe me as an agent of chaos. And so I know people like to say, you know, a father, and, you know, because I am a father and all of that, you know, I have, you know, I'm a husband. I got a beautiful wife, beautiful family. I have people that I work that I guess that I'm indebted to, and I have to do work for. Yeah. But I think an agent of chaos describes kind of whatever dictated how I moved and how I have started working. That's the best thing, because for my people, for Nixklan people up here, like, time is neither linear nor does it go in a circle. It's a whirlpool, right?
Okay.
And so things get pulled into that. How you move with that, and how you make that that work for you, and bring all challenges, pull them in, and utilize them to create change, right? So for me, that's what being an agent of chaos for my people is to be able to incite necessary thought that isn't oftentimes brought up right now, thought that keeps our people in a position of being imprisoned. And so for me, like, my children are included in that, right? Because the way that I've always moved, I don't want to say I've always moved, because that wasn't the way that I was, but once I started having the opportunity to be able to assert myself confidently and being able to take a stance for my people, I think that at that point, what I came to a realization was that I can't just say, here, my family's safe, my family's well off. My family, and by well off, I don't mean by money. I mean, they have the opportunity to be able to embrace these beautiful things our people used to have as a part of them and used to be a part of. But also, my people, if my people don't have that, then my family is still sick too, right? If one of my people are sick, then all of us are sick. And so what I mean by sick is just that, if we continue imploding on ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Our people have been given the choice now to implode. That means we either work to destroy ourselves, our own communities. We've no longer been given the ability to explode, meaning that to change the circumstances for our people and challenge the things that keep us in prison and be able to change the situation for our people. So for me, being an agent of chaos is a powerful thing, because I think that some people hear chaos and they think that that's problematic, but chaos is necessary to incite change. You got to see a storm to be able to change things, right? A storm, the wind blowing through, is the most powerful force of nature to be able to see that thing transform the world around us.
Yep.
And so for me, that's probably what I would say best for who I am.
That's powerful, man. I love that, man. And, you know, it's like I ask a question sometimes, like, what's the opposite of music, right? And, you know, it's disorganized sound, right? Or chaos, essentially, you know what I'm saying? And that's how the world is. If you go in a forest or whatever, you know, the birds and the sounds, you know, it's not organized, it's not put together, it's chaos. That's what nature is, you know what I mean? So I love that, man. Agent of chaos, dope. So how do you define success?
I think that goes back to even like within the question is like, if my people are able to exist freely. I heard once a statement that said that our people even forgot that our people were once free. So we don't even know what freedom looks like, right? And so we don't even know what freedom feels like, because we're dictating our lives based on the circumstances around us.
Okay.
And so for me, to be able to see success would be able to see people around me understand what freedom is, and to be able to know what that feels like, and to be able to dictate their lives accordingly. And so I think that that's a lot of work. That's a long time down the road, but I was taught by some of my people that to be able to hope to see the change that you're trying to work towards, to be able to like want to see that in your lifetime and to have that be the reason that you're working towards that change is selfish, right? Yeah. And so it doesn't, so it means you, I mean, regardless if you know those changes are going to occur, or you actually see those changes occur in front of you, you still have to keep pushing and work towards that change. So for me, that would be success. I don't necessarily think that success for me is relevant. My success will be my children continuing on the path and them, and then just continuing on and on and on and on.
Absolutely. So,
and I think that's really the best way I could find that.
Yeah, that's I love that, man. Because, you know, I listen to this Clubhouse group every morning with this family. It's a mother, a father, and a son. The son's about 30-something. And it's all just about focus, mindset, happiness, you know. And the pops, I call him pops, he's like a guru, man. And he says all the time, the secret to living is giving. Giving authentically, right? And that's exactly what you're doing. Like, you're not even worried about, like, you didn't mention money one time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not even worried about you and right now. You're worried about the future and legacy. You know what I'm saying? It's one of the reasons why I really wanted to dig into this shit with you, man, is because I know you're thinking about the world. You know what I'm saying? And not just about Ant and what Ant can do. You know what I mean? So that's really dope. Great answer. So I guess that, I mean, I guess you kind of answered this next question, but what drives you?
Yeah, that's that. I mean, and it's the same thing, right? Is that so there's a concept that exists, and it's kind of been changed, and it's kind of been I guess utilized and maybe even commodified, and it's so I think it's misunderstood. But for our people, there's what they call the seven generation, right? And so people were like, you know, you live for seven generations past, you live for these different things, right? That are going ahead. But for us, seven generations sits with like there's three ahead and three back, and then you're in the middle, right? So your job is to work towards and work for that, right? So you work for those previous generations, you work for those future generations, but at the same time, it's also just linked since the beginning and to the, I guess, what people call the end, right? But again, inside of a whirlpool, what does that look like? Because time is so chaotic that things oftentimes may occur. People might try to push this down to like the multiple universe theory. I'm not saying that, and I'm saying this is from a perspective that my people had and have like pre what they have, you know, Western educational sciences, right? Mm-hmm. And so our people seen the term and understood that we have this intimate and intricate connection all the way down through the beginning. We got stories of our people even when we had scales, right? Meaning fish, you know what I'm saying? We have the relationship to that all the way down to times that we haven't seen yet. Maybe, you know, and so that's what motivates me, is my understanding of my place inside of that, right? So selflessness and working as a person who's supposed to be doing everything that I can do without worrying about what I get out of it, without work, like I'm only here to serve my people. And you know, and service, that this is this cold part, is that when you start breaking it down into English, like serving the people sounds very, it either sounds weak or it sounds it puts it into terms that are almost like negative, right? And that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that for our people, the more that you give, the more strength you have, the more recognized as a leader you are. And I'm not saying that I think about that process every day. It's just a necessity, right? I necessarily have to do this. It's my obligation to my people. I don't think about my rights. I think about my responsibilities, right? Dope. And so that's the function that we have, right? And so for me, now, I wasn't always like this. I don't consider someone who doesn't see the world like this as someone that's wrong. But I was once told about a man who had to sit before the church. He was an old Native man. He sat before the church. Before court. They had to put his hand on the Bible, said, you know, will you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And he said no. And he ended up getting in trouble for that. And he said, finally, the judge was like, why can't you just say you'll tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And he said, I can't. I can only tell you what I know. Mm. And so that's important to me. That you know what I'm saying? Some of that stuff, to reflect on what that means, is that my obligation is to understand what our truth was over here and to help our people become enlightened to it again, because it's been eroded, it's been destroyed, it's been murdered, it's been raped away. And so to return the things that allow our people to be feel beautiful, to feel amazing, to feel loved again is extremely important, right? And yeah. Sometimes that takes someone standing up for them in a certain way that may look like it's violent or it's aggressive, but sometimes people have to know that there's people that will stand up for them, especially people that have been bullied for so long, right?
Yeah, that's dope. Great answer. So how has a failure or apparent failure set you up for later success?
My whole life, probably my whole younger years of my life were extremely driven by selfish needs and selfish wants. Not needs, but wants. And so that was dictated by society around me. So you know, when you have an ability already inside of you that maybe people look to you, you look like you feel like a leader, no matter what you do, whether it's negative or positive, people will follow that. Mm-hmm. And so if I was to say, I don't want to say the things that I did, the things that I did, not the people I met in the mix of what I did as a youngster, that were detrimental to my community and the communities around me, mm-hmm. Are my biggest failure, because I led masses of people, to do the same and set it up for it to be a possibility for them to do the same and to pass it on to somebody else. And it leads the same principle of seven generations. It don't make a difference if you're doing positive or you're doing something that may create negativity. You're still doing the same thing, right? So in the process of doing these things, I led people. It could be one person, it could be two people, but in the end they also affected the same kind of change as well. People that
became people, right? Yeah.
Powerful leadership as well, and they did the same thing. And so because of that, I'm responsible for that.
Yeah.
And my responsibility in that is my failure. What I did, my participation in that led to so many years further of my people being allowed to be or being able to be oppressed. I participated in the genocide and the onslaught of everything negative, colonization of my people by leading others to do that. So now I have everything to make up for that, right? I have everything I did to be able to try and transition and change that and be able to have people see another opportunity and another possibility. Because when we were young, there was no other possibility in our circumstance, right? It was either that or give up and fucking die.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Or give up and accept the fact that we're supposed to be less than. So that was our opportunity at that point. We've seen that, we took that, or we didn't. And we risked being continuously bullied, continuously disrespected, although we didn't understand that what we were doing was disrespectful as well, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, like, that's my biggest failure, was not being able to see that, not being able to stand up for myself in that, and to be able to create, start building and working towards creating change. But but at the same time, had I not been in that, had I not been involved in that, I wouldn't have been strong enough now to be able to take the stance that I take now for my people. I would have never been able to grow up to be strong enough to say, okay, I'm down for whatever for my people by any means necessary. I'm going to try and incite and try and make change. You know what I'm saying? So,
and you know, bro, I kind of have that same thing. You know what I'm saying? Being a leader myself and spending a lot of time in negative environments, putting out negative energy, and setting that as an example for people to watch, you know what I mean? And it goes farther than just the street shit. It also is the music, bro. Like, after, you know, 20 years of doing essentially quote-unquote gangster rap, you know what I mean? I start to count up the brothers that are that didn't make it or that died, or you know what I'm saying? And it's like I look and it's like, man, the energy here is just not right, bro. Like you can't spend your whole life in negative energy, working on negative energy, putting it out to the world, you know what I mean? And then call that positive because you want it to be. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't think you do it. You know what I mean? So that's why you have shit like this show. Because I realize people like us, when you come from that and you're hard in it and you've experienced it, there's a certain type of resilience that you form. You know what I'm saying? There's a certain type of energy that you have that isn't in other people. You know, you get a Wall Street dude, he has one bad day, he jumps out the fucking window. You know what I'm saying? Like kids from where we come from, you know, they deal with shit every single day. And that resilience is power. You get them in a corporate world, you get them in, you know what I'm saying? So that's what things like this show is about for me, is kind of like trying to turn that around for myself too and give that back, you know, because I did, like you said, I spent a lot of time in that negative world. So yeah, that's dope. Great answer, man. Okay, so if you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it that could get to millions of people, what would it say and why?
Dang, I probably should have prepared for that one, huh? man, one gigantic billboard is, just work to remember what it is, what it was to be free. Because freedom isn't necessarily like your right, like your ability to like, to choose what, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the cold part, right? It's like, this is, man, English language is crazy because English language is noun based. Our language, Sklamuchin, is verb based, right?
Okay.
So like everything that you're doing require, like, so it's not necessarily creator, it's creation, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And so it's like a whole different way to be. So like freedom is like acting as such, right? Is being able to like understand that there's things around you that again you're obligated to, not that you should be doing things to make you feel happy, but your happiness should be rooted in the happiness of others, right?
Okay.
And so it's like it's crazy to be able to try and say that, because in terms of how those things translate, in terms of the way even freedom translates, right, is dangerous, and it's also difficult to assess by some people. But I think that that's important, because some people might be like, I made my choice to, you know, sit in the room and, you know, play video games all day, because we're in a crazy time right now. We're in a time now where we're disconnecting from nature right now. Like we're disconnecting from the natural world around us. Every day we're getting closer and closer and closer to disconnect from what makes us human. Mm. And like human in the center of everything, like for my people, like humans are the weakest of all beings, right? You know what I'm saying? It's our logic. It's our ability to be able to think our way to having excuses that makes us so weak, right? So we have excuses as to why we don't do the things that are necessary to be able to help ourselves and others. And also we have things imposed upon us that do the same, right? Yeah. And so I also think maybe that, so there's a nice little quote by Wilhelm Reich. It's a long quote that talks about traps. I can't read the whole thing right now, but if anyone wants to take it up, Wilhelm Reich, look up Wilhelm Reich, The Trap.
Okay.
And it's really important to talk about, because it discusses the fact that would be a good quote to have up there for probably everyone from different spaces to look at, because what that talks about is how you could be in a prison cell and you could like put nice things inside the prison cell. You can make yourself feel as healthy as you want, but you're still in a prison cell, right? Mm-hmm. You're still in prison. And this ain't talking about a prison cell. It's just talking about a trap in general, right? So it could talk about society as a whole. It could talk about different things, whatever you fall victim to. And the fact is that the only way to get free is to be able to escape from the trap. You can paint it, put the nicest things inside of there, be rich as hell, have all kinds of money, whatever you want inside of there, but you're still inside of a prison cell. You're still trapped. So the only way to ever really reach that point of feeling free is to be able to get outside that trap and know what it's like to be able to move without being a victim to all those things, because these things all imprison us, right? Yeah. And I think some people could say, like, if you're a, well, you ain't a millionaire, so obviously you're going to say that not having money is okay, or you're going to say you don't have these certain things, so of course you're going to say that certain things don't matter. But again, that's the reason it's important to understand what freedom really looks like.
Because if you, at the end of the day, man, the only thing that money is going to allow you or is going to give you is freedom. That's all it gives you. It gives you freedom. Like, if I had $1 billion in the bank, I don't have to worry about going to work. I can travel. True. I can do whatever. I mean, that's the only thing it gives you. Outside of that, it's not going to... Yeah, so I love that answer. Hell yeah. I lost what I was going to say, but I'll just keep moving because we on, like, question six or something, and me and you, we'll be here all day with this shit, man. What is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made? Could be an investment of money, time, energy.
In my people, man, in my people. Just the investment to understand, to have empathy towards the situation. I used to just hate people around me who thought certain ways that was different than mine. I used to hate people who had, whatever, if they was, dope fiends, if they were whatever they was, I thought they were weaker than myself because I made a choice to, we were always like, you've been given the choice to do these things. But with that, with learning to have empathy for my people, and have an investment in that, I come to a realization that, those choices are dictated by things that happen to us, right? Yeah. They're dictated by several issues of growing up. Are just like people have what they call genetic memory. Now people understand you can your DNA. Some people, you might want to call it spiritual memory, whatever, but you have a memory of things that have happened to your people for a number of generations, right? You remember that. So you have those things. And just because maybe I have the ability to escape that in a certain way doesn't mean everyone has the same thing. So my investment in my people is my investment in myself as well, right? Because like I said, is that, if they're sick, if they're dealing with issues, but I'm okay, that means I ain't doing my work. That means I'm failing my people.
Yeah.
So my work is as much as healthy as they are. And so my work is for them. You know what I'm saying? My life is my sacrifice, right? And that's it's not really a sacrifice at the end of the day, because that's things that we're supposed to do. If you look at salmon when they're spawning up river, when a salmon spawns up river, they won't be able to get past a fall, like a female salmon trying to get up and spawn her eggs won't be able to get past like a waterfall spot, but a male will go back and torpedo into her to flip her up so she can get upstream, right? And he'll die in the process. Thing is that, you look at it from that perspective, it's like, okay, well, what am I doing for my people to be able to help them up that way, right? It doesn't make a difference what they're going through. It makes a difference what I'm willing to do for them. And so that's my investment in my people is the biggest thing I could ever have.
Yeah, because how are salmon going to continue in the world if somebody don't go up there and get her up the damn hill, man? Hell yeah, I love that, man. And, Papa Bear, that, like we just here in Lawrence, man, we just lost a Papa Bear, for our community. I'm not sure if you knew Willie Dotson, but bro just... he came out the joint and 100% dedicated his life to some kids, man. And he got like 9 kids to college from one class of kids. And like he just gave it all, man. And like when that's gone, that's when you now that he's gone, you really see the effect of that, bro. I see the effect of what you do. Like, again, just in the only, Mary is the only son that I met, and that's his name, right?
Yeah, that's his name. Yeah.
I saw it in him, whether you were there or not, he holds himself in a certain way, and that's Papa Bear, man. So respect for that, man. Like if nobody says it, that's another thing about this show, man, is I want to give you your flowers. I want to tell you that, bro. Like as a man, I see... And I respect that commitment. What you're saying is also, you don't have to say it. You live it, right? Like, I can see it all on you. But, I mean, we're doing an interview, so it needs to be said. But, you know what I mean? So, hats off to you, man, for that commitment to your family, to your people, you know what I mean, to the world. So, thank you for that, bro. I appreciate
it. What was the cat's name that you said passed away?
Willie Dotson.
See, what happens, too, is that this is the cold part, right, man? And me and the family talked about this a while back, man. It's important that people like that get shouted out because those are, like, our heroes, bro. Yeah. And like, but we got posters of like, you know, the Migos or posters of whoever on our, you know, but we got these heroes in our community and they're not applauded. They're not held up the same, yeah. But we got to change that. You know what I'm saying? Like these people are like super significant. They're significant, yeah. You know, to maybe it might seem like small groups of people, but I'm saying like we have a tendency, like the people that are close to us, we forget to like, you know, applaud their work, especially while they're living, and then also to be able to like commemorate that work, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's just by commemorating, by continuing that work somewhere else, or whether it's commemorating it by immortalizing it through, you know, speaking their name and reminding people. I'm not saying you did it. I'm just saying like, there's a lot of my relatives that have, you know, have moved on and man, like, thinking about what could have been done to support them when they was alive,
yeah.
And thinking about what could have been done to be able to offer them more opportunity than what they had, you know what I'm saying? And being able to say like, this shit right here is amazing. Like this shit is something that while we're sitting around the table with our children or we're sitting down that we need to be talking about, you know what I'm saying? Because, because that spreads to like other people to be able to feel like, you know, a youngster sitting there like, oh, okay, that's the shit to be. Yeah. Okay, cool. You know what I mean? Like that, you know,
yes.
So I think that's dope that you brought that up, man. I think that's really important that people, you know what I'm saying, remember that and keep that name and other people who are doing that same kind of work alive. You feel me?
Yeah. You know, and that, one of the reasons I went this direction with this show, and one of the reasons, one of the first questions I asked is, how do you define success? Because every single person that I invited personally because I see you as successful. You see what I'm saying? And yeah. I see my time in the music industry, going around, be New York, you know, Atlanta, whatever, and being around these quote unquote superstars, millionaire, like morally these dudes are shit, man. Like, and you can see it in 5 minutes of conversation. Like, I turned down 3 deals in my life, man, just because I know I can't be around those type of people, man. You know, and so. This show is that, bro, and that's me trying to do something about it. I want to show these kids that you need to be looking at Ant. You need to be looking at Will. You need to be looking at, you know, the people around you who actually, and you know, like in a case for you or a case for somebody like Will or even me, like when it comes to the music, we get limited in our reach. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we're not. It doesn't pay us tons of money. I've been fortunate to make money in my career, but it doesn't. It's not millions of dollars like people think. But we still do it. You see what I'm saying? And that type of cat who can get up every day and put the same amount of love into it, whether a dollar comes back or not. You know what I'm saying? That's a special type of dude. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how long you've been doing this shit, but I would say 20 plus years. You know what I'm saying? And you know, so. Again, I just wanted to give you your flowers. That's what this shit is here for, man. So I guess we've said this again, you know, like you've answered these questions so amazingly that you've answered all my damn questions almost. So what impact do you want to leave on the world?
I mean, that's that. I mean, yeah. I think that's the same, you know, is we have to be willing to like, sacrifice whatever things that I think is rights versus responsibilities again, you know what I mean? I think that's the most important part. So yeah. So for me, I mean, if my name is not remembered, I'm fine with that, man, as long as the work is remembered, you know what I'm saying? Because yeah. That's the important part of it. I don't really, you know, after that, you know, it doesn't really matter if the work that I did doesn't end up being enough or whatever, you know, then I don't even know what enough means. But for me, that's all the work. Just continue doing the work. And regardless if you see it or you feel it, because that's the part that has people give up. You know what I'm saying? Is that they feel like they're not being recognized for it. They feel that they're not being seen for it. And they deserve to be. I'm not saying they don't deserve to be. You don't deserve to be. Other people don't deserve to be seen for the work they're doing. But I'm saying, like, that ain't the reason we do the work. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So for me, that's the hardest part for other people. So for me, it's just like the continue doing the work, whether you see the change or not in front of your face. You know what I'm saying? It's the idea of keeping that little bit of fire lit. You know what I'm saying? Keeping that oxygen on the fire for us, where I'm from again. And I say where I'm from again, because I'm not trying to say that where I'm from is different. I'm just going back to I can only tell you my truth, right? So I'm not trying to say, when I say where I'm from, I'm not trying to say it like in a way that's disrespectful to anybody else's beliefs or values. But where I'm from, once you put moisture from your breath on the words, once you bring that brings them to life, you know what I'm saying? So be careful in terms of what you say and how you say it, because it's going to affect, absolutely, it's brought to life at that point. And so what you're bringing to life, you have to answer for to yourself. You know what I'm saying? You have to answer for to your children. You have to answer for to whole generations of people, whether or not you're around or not. So I think that's the thing, is that when people speak of the work, you know what I'm saying? And if I'm connected to that, because there's so many people that inspired me, mm-hmm, people that maybe will never know that they're an inspiration or that they affected me in any way, a number of people all over that I've said, I'm only continuing a message and an idea that's been continued for generations, and it affected me. I'm just holding on to that, right? Yeah. Like the words that I carry, they were trapped in trees, you know what I'm saying? They were trapped, mm, in spider webs. I just pulled them out, you know what I'm saying? Hell, and so yeah, those messages are still there. So it's going to still be around after me, but you know what I'm saying? So I don't even know who really I answer to at the end of the day. So I'm not really the work. I'm going to do the work, whether or not it gets remembered. But I just want people to continue the work. My children will continue the work. You know, I got people around me that know they have to do it. And because of that, they want to do that work. So, I mean, I don't know if they answered the question, but
it did. Absolutely. It answered the question perfectly, man. Okay. So in the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
New belief. I think recent, like for real, man, like physically, like having children, you know, again, like super young children. I got a 2-year-old, I got a 4-year-old, and I got a 6-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm getting older. I kind of let, like, just sitting back, being philosophical and talking about different things and understanding the work I was doing, allowed me to get complacent with my, like, my physical health, but understanding, mm-hmm, that I have to get back to that because I have children that I have to be around for and make sure that they understand, like, I got to take them to places. I have to take them to places they have to be at to learn from too. Right. So, yeah. So I think sometimes you get caught in the mix of being able to be like, I've already done all the work. Mm-hmm. So I guess revigorating and reestablishing the fact that, everything's connected, our mental health, our spiritual health, our physical, yep, health, it all plays a part. And so, and I know that, you know, people say that all the time, but you know, sometimes you forget about it. You get complacent in your life, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, and you know, the where it's gone. So I think that's, you know, like just understanding that again, revitalizing that is something that's super significant. And so, you know, there's a lot of things we have to do to take care of ourselves. And it's not necessarily even just like physically, it's also spiritually, it's also, you know, other mentally. And sometimes we, you know, we ease back on doing that because we get comfortable and we get complacent. But that's the thing, is that when you get comfortable, you get complacent, that's when they can get you.
Yeah. You're so spitting, you know, that shit, boy. You're spitting that shit, man. That's real as it gets. Most people, you know, everybody wants to focus on the mindset, right? But like you said, there's also the health set. There's also the spirit set. There's also the heart set. Like there's all of this shit is connected, you know? And I'm realizing that myself too, because I'm bad with that, bro. I just go, 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 go. You know, and you know, after 20 years, you look up and you've been, you know, 8 hours a day sitting in the studio just blowing like a Rastafari. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mikey, like you said, there's things. I got weddings I want to see. I want to see my grandchildren. I got, you know, there's things to do. The mission ain't done. So that's dope. I'm glad that, you know, that you're thinking like that. And good luck to you on that shit. Oh, let's go back to where you were talking about where you're from. Like, where are you at? Like, where do you live? You live on the res, right?
Yeah, I live in the Sklam territory, my people's territory.
Okay.
Yeah, over in, they call it Port Angeles, Washington, west coast of the state of Washington, almost about 60 miles in from the very, the furthest point of the United States of America.
Man, and I noticed y'all be eating whales and shit, man. Like, how are you getting, like, y'all niggas out there, like, hunting whales, bro?
I can't really speak on it on some real stuff because that's highly regulated, seriously, though, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I can't speak on it. But we eat whatever our ancestors ate because there's reasons for that. Like, people are starting to understand that, even ourselves, right? Even within the past few, you have, your stomach is like a mirror of your brain, right? People are starting to understand this. You're starting to realize, like, the way that we eat affects how we think. And so, like, historically, our people used to have, so we had a three-part process of thinking, right? Mm-hmm. And it started in the stomach. It went from the stomach to the heart to your mind, right? And you used to be able to, you know, be in tune with that. Partially because of diet, partially just because of the way we're able to think. But now it's reversed, right? We go straight from the mind and it goes, you know, sometimes we might listen to our stomach, we might listen to our heart. But those are all things in terms of changing diet, changing the ways that also changes the way we see the world too. So it's important. It's like, you know, we play around with it and throw it up on, you know, on Facebook or whatever, like what's going on in terms of what we're eating right now, which is good. You know, humor and the stuff is important, but also, you know, we take it very seriously now. You know what I'm saying? Again, it wasn't serious, but at one point we had to come to a realization that for natives and for, man, I can speak on it from a native perspective. That's what I am. But I'm saying, if you look at it anywhere else, so it's like, we have the short, like, our introduction to things like carbohydrates, like wheat, things like that, is so much less of a timeline than Europeans specifically.
Okay.
And so when those things got brought to us, like, we can see the scientific and we can see the biological issues created by that for our systems, right? And so now we understand too, like, things like diabetes, which are rampant in native communities, are also connected to stress and depression, right? Like, meaning if you're stressed and you're depressed, it also affects your insulin response. So when you add that with diets of, like, straight, you know, the things they used to give for commodities is similar to what they're giving, you know what I'm saying, in communities for so we got wheat, we got sugar, I mean, we're talking flour, sugar, and milk, all things foreign to our body. And it destroyed not only the physical aspect of our people, but the mental capabilities to critically think about our situation, right? We don't have the ability to be able to think out of our situations, you know what I'm saying? And so you talk about things like whale, like salmon, high omega-3s, high omega-6s, all these things that keep our body functioning. Now, most of our people get to a point, they can't even like survive at that point. Diabetes, heart disease, all these different things that destroy our people. And we don't have the ability to. So now not only do we have the physical issue, we have the mental issue to be able to think ourselves out of that situation. So it only makes sense, right, for us to be able to do that. And we have the ability over here, not everywhere else, a lot of other places. They don't have the ability to continue like fishing and hunting like they used to because they've been cut off from their land base. We have too, but not to the same extent. And so, you know, over here, when they took over our land over here, our people would go try and get fish in the river out here, the Elwha River out here, and the people would pour lye in the river so the fish would die, so we couldn't eat the fish, right? So we have to have knowledge about what does that mean? Like, why would they do that, right?
Yeah.
And so if you consider what that means, I mean, our people are brilliant too. We just haven't had the opportunity to shine because we have a situation that's faced upon us, which is, you know, we have a lot of trauma existing. So most people are born, you born in the hood, you born with on the reservation, the hood, you're born with PTSD.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? There are psychological issues that people are trying to deal with that create people. We got people who are born, generations born fetal alcohol syndrome or effects. We got whole generations born, you know, addicted to crack or methamphetamine or heroin. And these are all things that affect a person's ability to, like, see the world, their consciousness, their, you know, so I'm saying, like, this. So eating well, that's a part of the process.
Dope. Hell yeah, man. Something, man, hopefully one day I'm going to get out there, man, and I'm going to eat some well.
We've been trying to make it happen, bro, on everything. Yeah. On everything, we got to make that happen, man.
No doubt we do. Okay, so peep this. What advice would you give to a smart, driven kid about to enter the real world?
Don't let no one dictate your path, man. Don't let any, don't let, like, really work on yourself to build, like, your confidence and whatever that is around you. So when I talk to somebody else out there nowadays, because I used to be worried about what people thought about what I did, right? Mm-hmm. And now I just tell people I answer to the spirits. And what that means, you know, whether or not you believe, I'm not trying to say you should believe in spirituals. I'm not saying none of that. When I say that is I don't answer to nobody. So if you driven by something, you feel like it's right, you feel like what you're doing is, like, is the mission and cause to be on, you do it. Don't let no one else dictate your path. And this is the thing, is that things will, you know what I'm saying, like, things will come to you. Like, they'll offer the ability to help. You'll find people who are willing to help you as well too, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's the biggest thing, is that don't let anything or anyone dictate what you do. So just keep pushing on that, you know what I'm saying? And I think that also pay attention to how it affects others around you, because sometimes you think you're doing what's right, but if it's affecting others around you negatively, then it's probably not.
Real shit. Great answer. In the last 5 years, what have you become better at saying no to, as far as distractions, invitations, things like that?
Anything that will take away time from my family or my people. And I know that's like a gigantic, but I'm saying anything that really takes away from that time, like from me doing, being able to make the moves that are necessary to work towards change. I've been able to, I used to try and, like, please and appease everybody and everything around me and make sure that, but now if I don't see it as functioning as a part of the program, plan, and cause that I got moving forward, then I'm able to just be like, nah, I got to do something else.
So, was there any, like, particular approach or realization that you had that helps? I mean,
my wife, realistically, she tells me what's up, right? She tells me what I should do and how I should do it. And I mean, that doesn't mean I don't have free thought in that, or I don't sit back and think about it. It's just that sometimes, I sit there. I'll tell a real brief. So we would, yeah, no, I didn't tell the story, never mind. But anyways, yeah, she helps me to be able to sit back and see things clear, because in my experience of growing up, you know, we have a quick response to things. It was out of survival, right? You had to decide right off the bat, like, how was this going to go down, right? How are we going to, what are we going to make happen right in this second? Because it's a difference of whether it's life or death or harm or imprisonment or freedom. Like, these things had to be made, quick decisions. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes making decisions in haste makes you sometimes make the incorrect decision. And if you're not in that position anymore and you're not still moving around like that, you don't have to respond like that. You can have time to sit back and say, okay, like, this is something that needs to be done. So my wife, she sat back and was like, you know, is this really worth, you know, is this worth your time? Like, is this going to help whatever situation you're trying to do? Is going to help with the kids? Is going to help with, you know, and I really had to sit back and think about that. I had to go to some places out here and go talk to things beyond just human wants and needs and find out, is this going to benefit the things that I'm trying to change, right? Mm-hmm. And So it was her sitting me down and talking about it, like, you know, these things appear to be a waste of time in a sense, you know what I mean? And like I said, time doesn't seem, you know, only time while we're moving around and we still got breath to breathe, you know, really matters. There's a lot of different functions in that. But I'm saying, like, yeah, she sat me down and told me and suggested, I don't want to say tell me, but she suggested that I reflect on every move that I'm making and the people that I'm making moves with. Mm-hmm. And how that will affect everything around me, because you have, like, some people don't notice their power and their ability to lead, right? Some people sit back and they kind of just think that they're part of this thing, but it, you know, like part of something larger, but they don't realize like what power they possess because they're moving so quick, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but if you have that power and you have that ability to lead, you have a significant responsibility to pay attention to what moves you make.
Yeah.
And so, so that's kind of the thing, I guess, that she allowed for me to be able to see was by sitting me down and saying, okay, people pay attention to you when you're in a room, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so because of that, you have to act accordingly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that, so I mean, maybe she gave my confidence in that situation, or maybe she, you know, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Well, hats off to wifey, man. for sure.
For sure.
Okay. So when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused or have lost your focus temporarily, what do?
Go to the river, man. Early morning, 6 a.m. and ice cold river, man. Take care of that. And, let it remind me of my purpose and place and, you know, both my significance and my insignificance in this world, you know what I'm saying?
Fuck
and
yeah.
So that's literally what I do. And, you know, it's an old thing for our people, but you know, you got people like Wim Hof who borrow from us now that understand what the effects of, bathing in ice cold water can do for a person's, you know, a person's well-being, you yeah. know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know, the same thing with people got, or other people got sweat lodges they get into or whatever they do, and other people meditate, whatever it may be. So people are just now starting to understand, how that affects a person's ability to like, to get past stresses, to be able to get past sickness, to be able to get past worries, concerns, and get yourself back focused again. Hell and yeah. So, you know, I think it's important that we always find time to be able to evaluate our situation. It don't got to be in the river, you know what I'm saying? It don't got to be, you know, it could just be time to sit back and reflect. It might be sitting back, you know, for my son, he goes and sits back and makes some music, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not a cat, like, he don't like me because when we drive around, I don't listen to music.
Yeah, me either.
You know what I'm saying? And if I do, I'm listening to, you know, like Sam Cooke or Otis Redding or something, right? Like, I'm just yeah. random, you know what I mean? Like, if I do, but if I, other than that, like, the rest of that stuff, I can't think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
And so, but for him, he finds a space in that, like, that centers him again. And I'm cool with that. I'm not against it, but it's just not in the car with me.
I know, that's right. Especially that new booty shit, man. I can't do the new that booty shit, man. All right, man. So, last question, bro. Is there a song that you would call the soundtrack to your life? Or is there a song that you think greatly represents you? Or do you have a favorite song?
Oh, man, I can't even remember the name of the song. Renewal. Mm. Savage Fan Renewal, the song that I made right there with, like, and that's ours. That's the only, I don't sit back and go back and listen to my music over and over. I don't. It's not something I do. And I don't want to take anyone else's words and say that dictates or surrounds or suggests that their music could define who I am or should be able to define who I am. But in terms of like, for me, that song was an accomplishment in terms of like what I wanted to try and express and there in one piece, like kind of express the chaos, right? So yeah. So the love for my people, the hate for our circumstance, and the willingness to fight to be able to change that, like by any means necessary. I felt like that was, you know, that was something that I wanted to be able to express. And I felt like that was at that point, that was, and then at this point too, is that that did it the best, you know what I mean? Because it talked about a lot of concerns. So yeah, that's probably for me, that would be the one that would be telling of my situation specifically.
Hell yeah. Is there a video for that?
There is. The funny thing about it, my son was just learning, he was taking a class on filmmaking. And mm-hmm. So I was like, well, let's make a video for this. So we were kind of at the spot, you know what I'm saying, learning some stuff, and he was starting to learn filmmaking. And so he made a video. It's his first video ever being made, right? So he made mm-hmm. like a DJI Osmos or something like that. We're just kind of playing around with it. So, and that's, you know, that's a part of the meaning to me too. Like when we started doing things, we try to do things calculated, but we also wanted people to be able to utilize our music and do what they wanted to do with it, and not dictate like it has to be this way or it has to be that way. So that was like important as well with the video too. So that was really dope in terms of how that came together.
Yeah, that kid's gonna do great things, man. I can feel it in my gut, man. So, Ant-Man, thank you so much. This was, man, you dropped so many gems, bro. You're such a dope person, man. Keep the fight going. Keep the mission going, man. Again, you know, if there's anything I can do, I know if y'all need me, y'all holler at me. So, shit, if there's anything I can do, let me know, bro. I support your movement 100%. Is there any party message, anything you want to leave with?
Not really. I think that, like, really at the end of the day, man, my hope is that, like, things like this, I see your vision with this. And the thing is, in the world that we exist in now, like, sometimes it feels like there isn't space for things like this to grow and get the numbers, even though this is the most important, you know what I'm saying? These type of things are the most important conversations that need to be heard. And so people, you know, but that it, people are trying to drown that out. It's for a purpose. It's by design. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for me, like, to keep pushing, regardless of what kind of, like, support it feels like. Like, I watched Approaches. Approach was dope. Approaches, like, in terms of, like, I met Approach back in the day. I hooped with him back in the day. You know what I'm saying? I sat back with Cass back in the day. You know, so I think it's dope what you're doing and bringing to light some things and some people that were instrumental and important to other people, and also, like, the message you're trying to put out. And I know I'm trying to say this to you, but I'm saying, like, for other people too, is that just because it ain't getting the shine that you would want it to have, doesn't mean it don't have the effect. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I think it's really important that things like this keep pushing, whether or not you get, you know, 170 million views or you get 17 people watching. I think that, you know, when it comes to it, the people who hear it are the ones that are necessary. You know what I'm saying? And I think that at that point, you know, I mean, that's my vision. I mean, you know, is that people keep pushing with what they have to say, and, like, you know, have that voice. Things like this, which are extremely necessary, you know what I mean? And so, you know, hopefully people start having, like, conversations earlier. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were in the same spot for a long time. For whatever reason, we didn't sit down. You know what I'm saying? I know we had different lives and all that, you know what I mean? But I think it's important. You know, some people don't even make it to an opportunity to be able to sit down and do the things and meet the people and interact with the people they should have interacted with. So I think that, you know, right now is the time. So
Yeah, see, the thing about this show, man, I'm exactly like you in the sense of I'm not doing this for views, man. I'm doing it for the little dude that was like you, or the little dude that's like me, who all he needs is a little bit of information, bro, and he can take over the fucking world, right? So
absolutely.
if this helps one person, then it was worth it. Outside of that, I get to sit and chop it up with dope people and you know what I'm saying, get some good conversation myself. You know what I'm saying? If I want to be selfish about it, that's the selfish part about it for me, is I get to have these conversations with y'all, man. And like I understand, you know, everybody that I'm bringing, you know, like I said, I handpicked them. I know they're dope people, so I just want other people to know. And again, it'll pick up. You know what I'm saying? I don't have a team. I got my man with me. He, you know, we learning this together, and it'll get bigger. These will be here. They'll go back. It's just like music. You know what I'm saying? You know, a dude will have a hit in 2021, and then his back catalog will go gold in 2022. You know what I mean? So that's really where it is, man. So again, bro, salute, man. Thank you. I'm gonna go ahead and end this. You know, we need to, again, man, I want to get out there. So shit, I just, if it ain't nothing for me, just the experience, and man, just kind of get, you know, kind of just come into y'all's world for a minute, man. I would love that. So
slide out anytime. You know, you're welcome. You feel me? And like I said, you know, we'll help out with the ticket, whatever needs to happen. You know what I mean? So, like, let me know what's up. You know what I mean? So
all good, man.
All day. You're welcome out
all
here.
Right. Thanks,
Anytime.
homie. Much
All right,
love, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. No.